One of the best reasons to study the book of Acts is to take note of the examples of conversion. When the gospel was preached, people responded. And we note what was preached and how people responded. A lot of people today, in the name of Christianity, preach a false gospel of Christ. Or proclaim a false response to the gospel. We've looked at several occasions already in our study of Acts. Today we're going to study the conversion of Lydia, maybe the first convert to Christ on the continent of Europe. This was occasioned by the Macedonian call that Paul had received. He had a vision while at Troas. He and his company had been making their way through Asia, or what we know as Turkey today, and the Spirit had limited their options, Acts 16, verses 6 through 8. And while he was in Troas, Paul had a vision that's called the Macedonian Call, chapter 16, verse 9. And taking the vision as a call from the Lord, they departed for Macedonia, chapter 16, verse 10. When Paul arrived at Philippi, he sailed from Troas, verse 11, and they sailed to Samothrace, a small mountainous island some 500 feet above sea level, and then to Neapolis, a seaport for the city of Philippi. And in chapter 16, verse 12, it says, arriving in Philippi, he was there. It was the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, and it was made a Roman colony in 42 BC. Upon arriving at Philippi, Paul and his companions, including Luke, because in the passage he writes we, were staying in the city for several days, verse 12. On one of those days, they went down to the river. At the riverside, there was a woman named Lydia and her household who had gathered there for prayer. Paul and his company go down to the riverside on the Sabbath. In verse 13 of chapter 16, we read, on the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak with the women who were gathered there. Paul's custom was to find a synagogue on the Sabbath. In chapter 17, verses 1 through 3, it says that when Paul and his companions had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving the Messiah had to suffer and be raised from the dead. This Jesus, he said, I am proclaiming to you, and is the Messiah. The reason with he gathered at the synagogue, rather, to reason with Jews about Christ. Evidently, there were many Jews in Philippi, but there was no synagogue. And according to Jewish custom, at least 10 male Jews had to be present to require a synagogue. But women met at the river to pray. And Paul's company goes to the river to pray as well, and they meet with them and speak to them. We see here in this context that Lydia heeds the word of God. Lydia was a successful businesswoman. In chapter 16 and verse 14, it says, one of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. She was a seller of purple, as the text says. She dealt in goods, in dye, suggesting that she had wealth on her part. She was from the city of Thyatira, a city of Asia, also known as Turkey today, and it was known for its expensive purple dyes. Verse 14 says that Lydia was a religious woman, one who worshiped God. Her name was Greek, and possibly, perhaps, converted to Judaism. Now she heard Paul, according to verse 14, and the text says that God opened her heart to heed, to listen, to do what Paul said. In what way did the Lord open her heart? Well, we're not told. But the text says, but when she heard what Paul was speaking, She listened. She listened intently to what the Apostle Paul had to say. In chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, it says, "On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message." Now we know that Paul writes in Romans 10 verse 17 that faith comes by hearing the word of God. Through the gospel, one's heart can be opened to be receptive to God's word. The gospel, according to Paul in Romans 1 and verse 16, is God's power to save. And in Romans 2 and verse 4, Paul says that it tells of God's goodness and that one should, that it should lead one to repent. Our text tells us that Lydia was willing to heed the things spoken by Paul. She listened. In verses 14 and 15, one of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us into her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. In other words, she was persuaded to do or obey whatever Paul had said to her in his message. And in this, we can infer that it included baptism, as is taught in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, as we've noticed earlier on, where Peter said in his great sermon to repent and be baptized. Because she and her household, which were most likely her family and servants, were baptized. Again, we see the examples of this in Acts chapter 8. So at this point, allow me to make some observations about Lydia's conversion. Religious people need saving. It doesn't matter how religious you claim to be. We all need to be saved. When we read throughout the book of Acts, the gospel was proclaimed to religious people, people that already had some semblance of knowledge about God's word. The thousands of devout Jews in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost had come there to worship God in Acts 2. The many Jews gathered on Solomon's porch at the temple were there to worship God, Acts 3. The Ethiopian eunuch who had traveled to Jerusalem to worship was a religious person, Acts chapter 8. And then you have Saul of Tarsus, a devout Jewish rabbi or teacher, Acts chapter 9, and his story recounted in Acts 22. Then you have Cornelius that we noticed last week, a devout Gentile who feared God and prayed always. Without Jesus, I don't care how religious we are, religious people are lost. Jesus said in John 14, verse 16, that he is the way, the truth, the life. There is no way to come to God but through him. There is no other name but Jesus whereby anyone can be saved, Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. And Paul would tell the young preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 and 6, that Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. But it's not enough to be religious. We need Jesus Christ as our Savior. So the logical conclusion to preaching the gospel is that in every case of conversion described in the book of Acts with detail, baptism occurs quickly, not at some later date. In most cases, after hearing just one lesson about Jesus, like with the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, now, referring to Peter's sermon on Pentecost, a respected Baptist scholar wrote, "Baptism is here a part of the proclamation of Christ. In an apostolic sermon, it comes as its logical conclusion. An effort ought to be made to restore this note," he says, "in our Baptist preaching. That comes from George Beasley Murray in the book that he wrote, Baptism in the New Testament. So really, the command of baptism needs to be restored to every gospel sermon that's ever preached. It doesn't matter what faith, what denomination. The logical conclusion from the Bible is that baptism is necessary and immediate. Here's an indication of faithfulness. In asking Paul and his companions to stay with her, Lydia asked, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord," verse 15. What evidence was there to determine whether she was faithful? At the very least, she was willing to be baptized, according to verse 15. And would not refusal to be baptized indicate a lack of faithfulness? But then there comes up the question of infant baptism. Some try to look at this household conversions as evidence of infant baptism, like with Cornelius and his household, Acts chapter 10, with Lydia and her household, Acts chapter 16, and later on in chapter 16, the Philippian jailer and his household. The argument is made that we assume infants are present, but that's not necessarily the case here. Lydia was a businesswoman. There's no mention of a husband. She was from Thyatira, which possibly in Philippi, she was possibly in Philippi on business. And though she did have a home there, she was not at her hometown. So we can just as easily assume that her household was made up of servants, or at least children old enough to travel. To prove infant baptism is scriptural, the burden of proof rests upon those that want to make infant baptism okay, that support it. And the evidence in this case simply is not there, nor is it found anywhere else. So with the conversion of Lydia, we have perhaps the first gospel convert on the continent of Europe, the beginning of the church at Philippi, which may have met in her home. We also have an example of the providence of God, leading servants who are prepared to teach, to seekers who are praying, as in the case of Cornelius and the Ethiopian treasurer. And also we have the fulfilling of Jesus' words, where he says in Matthew 5 and verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." And he said in Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, "Seek and you will find." These individuals are like the man in the parable of the pearl of great price in Matthew 13. He said, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Lydia was a successful merchant, but she knew there was something more valuable than money. Her worship and prayer gave her the opportunity to hear the gospel and to show her faithfulness to God by obeying the gospel immediately through faith and baptism. And what about you? Was your baptism immediate, or was it put off till a later date? You may disagree with this lesson, and I'm sure that there may be some that do. If you would like to sit down and discuss with me the issue of baptism or what we've studied so far, feel free to make contact with me. But as I've said in the past, bring your Bible and show me in the Bible, in God's Word, where I am wrong. If you'd like to meet with us at the Eastside Congregation, we'll meet at 9 a.m. this morning for Bible study, 10 a.m. for worship, and again this evening at 5 p.m. for another period of worship. We also have a midweek Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Thank you again for being with me.